14. Job 14:1 was a verse he always say is one of his favorite verses. I tell you, when you're going through some issues of your life, you can kind of get down, you kind of get feeling sorry for yourself, but usually it just takes me a stroll through the book of Job to stop and quit feeling so sorry for myself. When I think about Job, I think about a man that he didn't have the full revelations of God like we have. He didn't have the Bible, the Old Testament, nor the New Testament. Most people believe he was one of the oldest books, if not the oldest book in the Old Testament. However, we know that Job was a pretty good man, even though he was like all of us. At our best, we're still sinners. When he got to see God face to face, he realized how vile he was. And even though compared to us, we would probably not want to stand side by side with him. But you think about the suffering that he did. And you think about the full out assault that Satan did to try to break Job. I stand amazed because it's not some simple pain that he was having like many of us. Some of us has our own peculiar pain or illness. But he lost everything he had, basically, including 7 sons and 3 daughters. His possessions. And of course then, Satan attacked his health. And I do believe, sometimes people say, well, I've got this, it was like Job had. I don't believe any of us ever experienced the pain of the boils like Job had. I believe Satan gave him the very most intense boils that he could have. You know, one time I got a MRSA on my arm, and it rose up and it was sore. I mean, it made my whole arm from my elbow to my wrist just about sore. But I got thinking about Job. Not a place on his body he didn't have something like that. He couldn't stand, he couldn't sit, he couldn't lay. I mean, night after night, all he could do is sit in a bunch of ashes and take pottery, broken pieces of pottery, and just scrape himself to try to ease some of the pain. I think about that when we get into this chapter here, chapter 14. He's actually looking forward to the time when the Lord just take him home. Yeah. Several times we go through something and we get a feeling like that, it would just be good to go home. But I imagine Job really had a desire to go home. And so let's begin reading, if you would. And there's 3 verses I want to look at tonight, but I want to read beginning in verse 1. Man that is born of a woman. Now let me stop there and say, folks, that's where we all began. I know we began from the beginning of time that God had us in mind. I know that God had us wrote down in the book of life. But at some given time, at the right time, just as with Jesus, when the fullness of time came for Jesus, he was born of a woman. When our time came, we were born of a woman too. We all begin the same place. Our birth from our mothers. Man is born of a woman is a few days. He reminds us as throughout the Bible that life is short. We talk about it a lot. I'm now going on next month, I'll be going on 60 years old. I never thought 60 would come so quickly. Some of you are 70, some of you are 80. I'm sure you would stand up and say the same thing. It's been like a vapor. And Job said, regardless of how we live, just a few days. It's not going to be very long. Not only that, but also full of trouble. He also lets us know that not only do we have a brevity of life, we have burdens of life. We're birth of a woman, brevity of life, burdens of life. All of us has issues. You say, preacher, you just don't know what my issues are. No. There are some burdens that we have to bear ourselves. Some is just unique in our family. Some we bring upon ourselves. Some are self-inflicted. Those are always the tough ones to take. Then there are some burdens that we can share with one another. And by the way, I appreciate, I know, and some, most of you know, and if you don't, most of you understand that Tanya has gotten herself in some trouble, and so different ones have been taking the children and helping out. I appreciate you all doing that. Appreciate you being willing to do that. We all have our burdens. Every family has things that just weighs heavy upon our heart. So Job, and this was Brother Foster's favorite verse, and I often think about it because it's so full of truth. All three of those things are true. We begin at the birth of our mother. Our lives are so short. And we have such burdens in this life. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth as a shadow and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such a one and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of the months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish an hireling his day. Now let me stop right there and say this. Job, even though he didn't have the revelations that we have, the Old Testament, New Testament, he had a unique understanding. He did have an understanding that God has numbered our days. The thing that we need to learn is there are ways that we can add to our days. There are ways that we take away from our days. And the Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is the first commandment with promise, that your days may be long upon the face of the earth. And so you'll learn that in Exodus there, the first promise that we had of extending our life was to children when they obey their parents. Sometimes people say, well, I don't want to listen to what my mom and dad says. Well, you're just shortening your life. God has a certain life for you. He's predetermined it by whatever means he does it. And you add to or take away. And it's up to him. It's in his hands. That's why Job said, the months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. In other words, we've got a certain limit that God has put with us. None of us know, but look on if you would. In verse number 7, for there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, it will sprout again, that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud, and bring forth a boughs like a plant. But man dieth and wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost. Where is he? And the waters fail from the sea, and flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not till the heavens be no more, and they shall not awake nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave. Now this is what verse I want to preach from, 13 through 15. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret, and thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change comes. Then thou shalt call, and I will answer thee, and thou will have a desire to the work of thy hands. Now, again, remember that he's in affliction and he wants to go home. I stand marveled sometimes at Job's knowledge. In chapter 19, he said that he knew that his Redeemer liveth. And he knew that in his flesh he would see God. He also said over in chapter 25, how can a man be justified with God? And he had a deep knowledge, even though he didn't have the Bible as we have today. But we do have the Bible and we have some answers, some things that he asked and some things that he considered. And so I want to look at five areas that he addressed. First of all, I want to address his concern. He had a question, what lies beyond death? He said a tree, you can cut it down and it may seem like it just rots and then all of a sudden it'll get some water and it will bud and bring forth a sprout and it will rise again. But he wants to know what's going to happen. Well, one thing is we know about death, and that is that it's certain. There's not a person here that's going to escape it, other unless you get called out before death finds you. There will be some alive when Jesus comes back, and when what we call the rapture takes place, that will not have to die a natural death. They will call and they will be changed in the twinkle of an eye. And then the dead in Christ will rise before them, and they will meet them in the air. Now, death also is not an experience that just happens to you. It's shared. Now, we haven't gone through the experience. Those of us here, we haven't died yet. But there's not a one of us that has not been affected by death. Every one of us has shared in somebody else's death. So death is always shared. There's some things that's unknown. But we do know from the scriptures that when we die, those of us who are saved, we will not be alone. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So we know that we're not alone. We also know from the scriptures that at death, what we call death, Jesus called it in the New Testament, those of us who are saved, he called it sleep. It is not our souls that sleep, it's our body that sleeps. But we know that death is followed in life. There will be life. We also know that when we leave here, those of us who are saved, to be absent from the body is what? And this is what everybody needs to understand. And this is going to be a simple message, but sometimes we just need to rehearse it in the minds of our young people and everyone else. Death decides eternity. However we die, that's where we're going to spend eternity. If we are not saved, hell will be our destiny. If we are saved, heaven will be our destiny. But you need to understand there is no hope in the grave. You know, when you read the history of the church, the Catholic Church began, they began to do this thing they called indulgences. They created this system where they pretend like they can pray your loved ones out of this place called purgatory, which is never mentioned in the Bible. And they can pray them up, get them out of there faster to go to heaven. They have no such power. Your loved ones die, whatever state they are in, they're in. They either go to be with the Lord, or they open their eyes as a rich man in hell. Jesus explained in Luke chapter 16 exactly what happens when we die. He said, the rich man, that in hell he lifted his eyes being in torments. Lazarus was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. Amen. Now we know that Abraham's bosom now has gone up to heaven. Now Job was wondering how long he would have to stay in the grave. His body would have to stay in the grave. Well, now Job is up in heaven with Jesus. He's got his new body. He's already resurrected his part. Now those loved ones that we've left are waiting for their resurrection. See, Job was part of the first fruits. The Old Testament saints, they came up out of Abraham's bosom when Jesus resurrected. According to Matthew chapter 27, verses 50 through 53, when he rose, they rose. The graves of many burst open, the Bible says. And they were seen by many in the holy city. Now, know that, but we also have a change. We have a physical change. We're no longer living on the earth. Our body remains on the earth, but our soul departs. It's present with the Lord if you're saved. And tonight I want to talk about those who are saved. Also, our appearance. We do not yet know what we'll look like. But according to 1 John chapter 3, when we see Jesus, we will be like him. There will be a time when we will receive our resurrected body, our glorified body. We don't understand, but we do know that there will be a change in our attitude. There'll no longer be any hate. There'll be no despite. There'll be no envy. There'll be no strife. None of those things will be present in heaven. We will leave our flesh behind. Our soul will be directed strictly by our spirit. And our spirit will be affected strictly by the Holy Spirit. And so therefore, we will know no sin. No sin can enter into heaven. And our whole attitude changes spiritually. Not only that, we also realize that there's no decay, no death, no disease. None of those things happen. And that's great to know. Sometimes you say, well, preacher, why? We know all these things. But sometimes I think it's good just to stop and say, reinforce it. Because every one of us is going to face it. We need to believe it. You know, I was preaching last Sunday about the pendulum. It's easy to say you believe it won't come back and hit you in the face. But it's another thing to stand there and let a 250-pound weight come and once you drop it just a few hairs from your nose, drop it and stand there without moving when it comes back to you, believing that it won't swing back as far as what it originally dropped from. Well, we have to believe the Word of God. Then also we know that here we have all kinds of trials and troubles and issues. We'll be out all that when we get to heaven. Heaven's going to be a wonderful place. Amen. And I know we all, right now, we're up on the earth. And all of us has a certain hesitancy. But I tell you what happens when we really go through some severe trials and troubles like Job did. We find ourselves asking God just to take us on. We've had loved ones that we've hated to see go, but God took them to a place where they were just asking that the Lord just go ahead and take them. He has a way of doing that and changing that and going and getting them delivered. Now, Job did not understand the Old Testament saints when they write. They did not understand about the rapture. They knew, and as a matter of fact, Daniel wrote in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, that at the last day there would be those that would arise unto everlasting life, and those that would rise to everlasting contempt. He knew that there would be a resurrection. But they didn't understand this thing about a rapture. The rapture, Paul began to teach, was a mystery. One of these days, we don't know when. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, one of these days, we're going to be living life just like we are. There's going to be a shout and a trump. And when that time, all the dead that's died since Jesus' resurrection, all the dead will rise. Amen. Then those who are alive will be changed in a moment. And we'll all meet up in the air and we'll see Jesus. Amen. If it happened this very night, those of us who are saved, we would disappear. Our bodies would drop and they would be changed. And we would put off this old flesh and we would gain a glorified body. And we would appear before Jesus. Now, also, Job here, he was asking, if a man die, will he live again? All days of my appointed time will I wait till my change comes. He knew he had a change coming. He knew that he wouldn't all forever. be locked up in that body, suffering, scraping, having all those boils, hurting him. And you know, one reason why I shared this with you, it's just kind of on my heart. I know several of you are going through things. But even though we're going through things, we look at Job, we've got to feel pretty good. I mean, Job had to learn some valuable lessons. I often reminded of a message one time I preached that when Job got through, he learned three things about Jesus. One is, he has a right to do whatever he wants to do. Sometimes we think, well, why is he doing it to me? Because he has a right to do whatever he wants to. You're his creation. The second thing we learn when we go through the book of Job is this. He has a reason every time he does something. Now, Job didn't understand it, but God and Satan was going through something and God was proving a point to Satan. Now, Job didn't understand it at that time, but you know, when Job got through, he got to see the Lord. He got to see several things. But what he did was he figured out through the process that God had a reason for what he did. You say, I don't understand the reason. That's because God's reasons are much higher than your reasons. Then also he had a reward for Job by staying faithful. He gave him back his children, new children, gave him back possessions, and he did that. Amen. Now, last, I want to give you this, and I'll close. And I want all you young ones to understand this. I want to go through a few scriptures, and I want to read a few scriptures, and I want you to flip with me just a moment. Turn with me just a moment, if you would, to Jude chapter 24. I want to just read a few and leave you with this thought. Jude 24 says, now unto him that is able to what? Keep you from falling to do what? Present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Look, if you would, in 2 Timothy chapter 1. I quoted this morning, but I want you to turn there with me. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look, if you would, in verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of John, chapter number 10. John, chapter number 10. John chapter 10, look if you would in verse 28. The Bible says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall what? Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to what? Pluck them out of my Father's hands. I and my Father are one. Look if you would in John chapter 17. Begin reading with me in verse number 20. Neither this Jesus, his real prayer, by the way, this is words of Jesus when he prayed. Neither pray I for these alone, for they are also which shall believe on me through the word, that's us, that they may, that they what? All may be what? One as thou, Father, are in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou hast given gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Look in verse 24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Now, notice that, if you would, and remember that that Jesus has promised he will not lose a one. Everyone he knows. And he knows where you are. He knows where you're buried. The Bible teaches that death and hell will deliver up the dead that's in them. Whenever Jesus comes, if you've been burnt, and sometimes in the early church and early writing of the Bible, they would take people and burn them at the stake and take their ashes and throw them everywhere to try to keep them from being resurrected. But when Jesus comes back, he'll know every particle of dust that there is. He'll not lose a one. Young people, I want you to rest assured of this fact, and older people. If you're one of his, you're safe and you're secure. He has been given the responsibility to keep you. And there is none that can get you. What you have to do is be saved. You have to be in him, and he'll be in you. And then you don't have to worry about when you die. You don't have to worry about how you die. And you don't have to worry about Jesus coming for the saints. Because when he comes, he'll take everyone that is his. Now, if you're not saved, you need to worry. Because, yes, you will live again. But it won't be a life of everlasting life. It'll be one of everlasting contempt. God will also give those that's going to hell a new body. The strange thing is, he calls it a worm. Jesus hanging upon the cross said, I became a worm and not a man. The Bible says in hell the worm will die not. I don't know what it will be like, what form it will be. You'll be gnashing of teeth, be weeping, be all kinds of things, but I don't know what it'll exactly be like, but I know this. Whatever it's like, it'll be a horrible, horrible thing to be in everlasting contempt. And so tonight, those of us who are saved, we can have some confidence like Job did. And Job didn't have all the answers through the Word of God, but he had quite a bit of knowledge when you think that he never had the Old Testament and New Testament. God must have talked to him many ways and many times. I wonder what some of them would think about that. I guess they'd mock Job too when he said God spoke to him. But I'm glad that I have the Word of God. I'm glad that I know in whom I believe. And I'm persuaded he's able to keep that. Tonight, are you saved? I know that probably most of you are. But maybe there might be one here tonight that's not. And maybe you need to come forward. If God's speaking to your heart and drawing you, this is the day you need to come.
Amen.
And maybe you're here and you are saved and God spoke to your heart in some other way. Maybe you're burdened. You need to bring some burden to the Lord. Whatever it may be, would you...